It's National Auto Care's Fixed Ops 5, an APCO Holding Brand podcast, powered by Passion, with your host, Corey Smith.
Welcome to Fixed Ops 5. I'm your host, Corey Smith, National Fixed Operations Training Manager with APCO Holdings. I'm being joined today by Timothy Lindsay from Keller Williams. Timothy, welcome to Fixed Ops 5.
Hey, bud. Thanks for having me.
Really looking forward to having you on this show and talk about this very important topic. So we're at the end of 2023, right? We're going to talk about training and coaching. So before we get into this episode, Timmy, can you tell our audience what you do for work now? What's your job title and what got you to this point in your career?
So my role at Keller Williams is productivity coach. It's a relatively standard role across what we call market centers. And every ownership group has a team of people that oversee and make sure the office, you know, remains open. So part of my goal is once people are recruited into the office or real estate agents decide to come play with us, my job is to make sure there's a education and training calendar that stays rolling and then obviously available for one-on-ones. And for the most part, coaching, training, and one-on-one conversations, which can turn into therapy. Anybody who's a business coach is not, I always have to say, I'm not a licensed therapist, but I know where all the bodies are. So that's what I'm doing now. You had asked, you know, how did we get here? So you and I both have a mutual friend that we knew from our past lives where I used to talk on microphones before all this. And he was in sales at a radio station that you and I shared some oxygen at. And he escaped and got into real estate. And when it gets to, and you know, as we tell everybody, most people know a lot of real estate agents, but you pick the one that you know and love and trust the most. So when Janine and I were looking to buy our house in Strathtopia, New Hampshire, look it up. It's on the map. There'll be a quiz later. There was an opportunity to work with a great agent. So I called Nate. And when I got through the process of buying the house, radio was changing for all of us, as you remember. Yeah. And he's like, get your license. And, you know, you and I have been through a few professional iterations and I'm just like, do people do that? Like nobody's in kindergarten. Like, I want to be Superman. I want to be president. I want to be a realtor. You know, we do have agents in our ecosystem that have heritage in their blood and they have aunts and uncles or grandparents that were agents, but I never thought twice about it and jumped into it, did it from a sales standpoint for 4 years. And Nathan was always prodding me, like, I want you to do something else. I think you should consider this. And finally in 2014, I took the role as the coach, just celebrated my ninth year on the 27th of October. And appreciate that. They haven't walked me behind the barn yet. If you've read Old Yeller, you'll get that reference point. And here we are with all of that. So 15 years, I think, from, you know, my internship to meeting you in March of 98. Yeah. Wow, I think I just grew some extra gray hair saying that out loud. And right. And here we are. So I think Nate's mindset was it was the perfect storm. I had some, you know, youth athletic coaching in my background, some coaching with another company, the communication from radio, and I think the dash of Father Tim helps me do what I do, or weather the storm through what I do, because it's been 9 years of a lot of stories, a lot of emotion. The best part of real estate is you're in charge, and the worst part of real estate for a lot of my agents is that they're in charge.
Yeah.
So it's that independent contractorship that, you know, weighs heavy on the heart when the heat's getting turned on and your cat's looking at you like we're all hungry, you know?
Yeah.
So, but I hope that answered your question.
That definitely answers the question.
You just asked me a question 20 minutes ago and I'm like rolling, right? My wife says my name is out of order. It's T-I-M, but it's actually TMI, right? I asked if you wanted a water, Mr. Lindsay. Well, yeah. Why are we talking about your cats? You know, anyway.
No, I love it. So, you know, we have had a long relationship and I'm blessed to have you in my corner and in my world. So when this topic came up, I'm like, I got a person that can talk about this for hours, days, weeks, months, training and coaching. So let's just dive right into this topic, Tim. What are the key skills and behaviors that, in your mind, that a salesperson needs to have to be successful?
So there's a thing, we have a myriad of books at Keller Williams. One of them being the you'll hear real estate agents through every brokerage referred to it as the Red Book. It's the Millionaire Real Estate Agent. Gary Keller wrote, our founder wrote it. And I make fun of it all the time. I'm about to teach it to our agents up in North Conway, New Hampshire on Tuesday. And I will start the class with, this is a terrible read. It's not a romance novel. You're not gonna be like, oh, honey, I'll be up in 2 minutes. I want to see if Timmy and Stacy fall in love. You know, that Timmy falls in the well, Lassie goes drinking. It's terrible, right? It's a blueprint for the business. And I think one of the things that's one of the charts that's in there is a triangle, and it's leads, listings, leverage. And they also talk about E to P, entrepreneurial to purposeful. And when in any arena, when you get in any vertical or any division of sales, when you get started, the entrepreneurial, the God-given talents kick in. And they're only going to get you so far. At some point, you're going to hit an achievement ceiling, and you've got to install a tool, a system, or a relationship. So I think key across all of it is to be coachable, which is a really saccharine way of saying you need to be talented and tenacious. Talented enough to know that you can make it on your own, and tenacious enough for when you do get punched in the face. Was it Mike Tyson? Everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the face. When you get punched in the face, you got to get back up, fall 7 times, get up 8 times, right? So I think talent and tenacity are really important. And I think it is massively important that people understand that they're always going to be learning. You've got to, beyond being coachable, which what does that mean? And you mentioned there's a differentiation between coaching and training, right? Training is I'm in the class talking about the skills. Coaching is how does the person take those skills and apply them in their genius zone, right?
Yeah.
We do some assessments when people come through our door. We do a DISC assessment, and we do what we call a KPA. The KPA is the Keller Personality Assessment. And that tool for me is self-serving, because as their coach, it better helps me understand how Corey Smith wants to behave in the sales space, right? Because you can, but if you look at the DISC assessment, it's D-I-S-C, right? The high D is the and you know Nate, so Nate Dickey's a high D. The high D is they're going to put you in a headlock and be like, we're buying something today. And you're like, okay. The high I, I'm a high I. I'm an influencer, promoter, talkosaurus rex. Like somebody's going to be like, just stop talking. I'll sign anything, whatever you want me to do, right? The high S is the supporter, and the high C is the coordinator. So no matter who you are in that spectrum, there's a skill and a pathway for you to connect with your people. Because ultimately, as a high I, I'm going to find my tribe. But if I'm a high S, high C, I'm probably like, oh, I'm going to make newsletters that are going to have pie charts and bar graphs. And that excites me. And that's my communication. And I'll find my people that want pie charts and bar graphs. Right. You know, I think when any agent goes to a kitchen table to talk to somebody about listing their home, you need to show up with the data. But as soon as I realize Corey doesn't really want the pie charts and bar graphs from me, he wants to hear the story, right? And yeah. That's a whole nother thing. Like, how do people learn and communicate? Is it audible? Is it kinesthetic? Is it visual? And those are the skills that we're always, the undercurrent of what I'm teaching on a regular basis is how to identify how people communicate. Not so we're disingenuous and we have to show up like a chameleon, but so we make them feel heard and cared for.
I love that. You know? So how can we measure the effectiveness of the training that you do and the coaching that you do? Is it measurable somehow? And how do you measure it?
Yeah, I mean, that's the one that probably keeps me up at night the most. We do it differently at our market center, and a lot of training organizations, and just to speak, you know, transparently about Keller Williams, my role in a lot of market centers would be this individual is going to come in, they're going to have an office space, and their job is self-funded. They're going to come in, and when an agent is looking for coaching, should they want to engage with that, it's going to be a contractual relationship, and it's going to be when they close deals, the coach sees a percentage of each deal. Way back when, because we were just, you know, really just getting started. When I joined our market center back in 2010, and Nathan opened in 2004, I was probably in the mid hundreds. So I was probably like in the 150s of the agent count at that point. When I took over as coach 4 years later, we were probably at about 220, and we're now at about 660. Right. So we do have tools to track everything. I guess my point being is my relationships, tracking my meetings with agents, tracking the correlation between whether they're with meeting with me, if they're leaning into education, and then seeing their production. One of the cool pieces of math we had that we throw around as of late And it's not like a Morpheus in the Matrix, like with the red pill and the blue pill. Like, go meet with Tim. He'll fix it all. But we know when agents are meeting with Melissa, who's our tech, who's our tech director, when and they're making sure they're utilizing all the leverage of the tech. When they're meeting with me, when they're plugged into the classes, that's probably a lead indicator that they're plugged into all the other things that will benefit their business from the Market Center. So the cool math that we've had in the last year is agents who are involved with Melissa, our tech coach, and me as the productivity coach are doing, I think we had some ridiculous number, like 386% more business.
Wow. Okay.
But there's a huge gap there too, right? There, because and any sales organization, you know, and stop me when I'm boring you, which is probably right about now. Any sales organization, there's going to be three groups, right? There, and from a sales, from a real estate standpoint, I've got agents that'll come in, they sit down, they're getting started, they're super excited. And like, so what do you want to do? Oh, I've just got my license so I can sell my aunt's house. I'm like, oh, okay. And, you know, again, I have to remind myself that I'm 52, right? Some of our agents are marching in, they're like 22, soaking wet, right? And I'm like, so what's your aunt's name? Kendra, cool. What does she do? She's single, 35, non-smoker. Like, I'm just laughing at my, like, you're going to sell your aunt's house when she dies. That's going to be a while.
Yeah, it's like, going to be
we're not, we're never going to get there, right? You know, so we've got agents that sort of just get it because they get it. We get agents that are building massive businesses and printing money. And then we've every sales organization has the messy middle. And the people that are, you know, not showing off, they're not going broke, they're not setting records, and there's the messy middle. So our job, for the most part, is to make sure we get the stickiness of kids getting their first deal so they get that taste. Mm-hmm. And they understand what it's going to look like, because that's the power of real estate. Is I have agents that will get, they'll go to closing tables three times a week, right? And then NAR, you look terrible this week. You know, the National Association of Realtors will tell you the average realtor is doing 9 to 12 deals a year. That's so false. It's like closer to 4.
Wow.
Like, okay. If you go over the scope of the entire country, you've got agents that are like once a quarter doing a deal.
So what's the most common challenge when someone comes into your office for coaching that they face, and how do you address it?
Such a great question. As you can imagine, I'm remarkably honest with them. And one of the biggest challenges, I'm going to make so many enemies today. Thank you for the forum to do this. Like, and you know what I'm about to say, HGTV, they are my Voldemort, right? Because, and especially during COVID, right? What happened during COVID? We thought to a person in this industry, we thought the wheels were about to come off during COVID. Mm-hmm. There was actually an announcement made. I'll never forget, because our agents were calling us like their hair on fire, because Governor Sununu made the announcement very early on in COVID, like that we were non-essential. And I was like, and you could hear the needle on the record, right? And like the lights came on at the club, and they're like, all right, everybody out, you know. And within a couple of days, Nate and some other people that are of influence in the state of New Hampshire drove out to the Capitol, and like, we think you probably need to rethink what you said out loud on television. So yeah. They changed their pace on that. Again, though, we had to reconvene. Gary, who's the founder of Keller Williams, we had a town hall the very next, because it was Friday the 13th. Remember that wonderful Friday the 13th when the world stopped and all of our kids stopped going to school? Yeah. And it was just on the other Monday that Gary, our founder, had a town hall. And he's like, he's always said, we have to behave for the market that is yet to come, right? And he's got another great book behind MREA called Shift, right? And it's not a singular event like, oh, you missed it. It was last Thursday just after lunch. That was the shift. We're always shifting, right? We didn't know what to expect, but then we found out, like, it turned into a video game. Interest rates were at 2%. And people were just selling to sell because the equity that people were experiencing with pricing and interest rates, all of that stuff. And a lot of people sitting at home that were getting furloughed from their job at Liberty Mutual or whatever corporate American, you know, employment they had, they're like, this is terrible. I think a lot of people discovered in that window of time when they did go back to the office, they were like, oh, I thought I loved my job. I just love the people I did my job with. Me alone in my cube, this is terrible, right? Or me home on my couch, I don't love my job. I love the camaraderie of the people I worked with. So we saw an influx of people coming into the real estate industry. And the number one thing that people realize when they get here that I'll say out loud and remind them consistently, and they have to experience it to understand it, is the best part of real estate is that you're in charge. And the worst part is that you're in charge. So making sure they understand there's heavy lifting, you know, getting back to HGTV, and I'm so glad you asked, Corey, there's no 22 minute show of us making our phone calls, of us doing lead generation, right? It looks like we sell a house in 22 minutes minus commercials. You're like, oh, that's pretty cool. Right. And that's why the American public thinks we're all overpaid, because they think that we have a base salary. Then the money at the table is just like, that's Foxwoods money. Like, no, that's everything. It was a handful of years ago. Nate and I were at Stratford County Board of New Hampshire, like realtor meeting. And so I'm going to say some old guy. I'm the old guy now. It's me. I'm Taylor Swift. It's me. I'm the problem. Some old guy got up. He was selling raffle tickets. And before he starts to tell some jokes, and he's like, one of my friends asked me, how do you get paid in real estate? And I said, well, it's not per hour and it's not per part. It's perhaps, right? And that's horrifying for people, you know, and we're going to see. And you know, I know the news does a terrible job portraying what this industry is and what we're in the midst of right now. There's no such thing as a bad market, because life happens. The challenge for real estate salespeople right now is to make sure they're having enough conversations with the people in their life they care about, to understand that if it is a familial reason, if it's an emotional reason they have to move, the math isn't going to matter. And you and I both know people are freaking out right now. And, you know, 20 minutes ago it was 7. We're hovering, depending on where your credit is, you're 7 or 8% right now. And yeah, that pisses off a lot of Americans, because 20 minutes ago it was 2% or whatever, based on your credit.
Well, let's think about this in the auto industry, right? We all went through COVID just like you guys did, right?
Mm-hmm.
The interest rate goes up, right? The salesperson goes through that same thought pattern, right? Mm-hmm. So as a coach, how do you keep them from saying, okay, I can't do this profession, I'm out, right?
Yeah, the perception is it's perceived to be too difficult. And you know me, I'm real big on semantics. I don't want my agents talking about the fact that it's a bad market. It's a challenging market, sure. And I remind our brokerage serves 4 states. We serve Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine, and Massachusetts. And anytime somebody gets caught up in their feels, I'm like, do me a favor, you know? And we have a handful of agents that are licensed in all 4 states. Most of them are in Maine and New Hampshire or whatever. In whatever state you're licensed in, just go look at that MLS today, the multiple listing service, and tell and call me back or text me or do it right in front of me and tell me if no houses came on the market today. So you can't be upset that houses came on the market and you weren't involved. You didn't invite your face to the conversation. You sat home yesterday, made pancakes, and talked to your cat. And you're allowed to do that, right? Salespeople who are independent contractors, you can do whatever you want, but you can't blame the results on your inactivity. I mean, you can. You have to accept the results based on your inactivity.
Yeah.
But people listed their houses. So the challenge for me is to make sure that they are exhausting their conversations. In a lot of sales industries, and certainly in real estate, you know, there's a lot of websites where you can go. What buyers are looking for a house, sellers are looking for the rock star in their neighborhood to promote their house and broaden the opportunity and make sure that everyone knows their house is for sale. And agents will get caught up in making sure that, hey, I'm going to go to a few different aggregators that are going to give me names to call. I don't have math tied to this stat, but I heard this most recently, Corey, and it's horrifying. And I think it might even, I'm sure it happens in the auto industry as well. The number one reason agents in real estate will not tell the people closest to them that they got into real estate is their greatest fear is the next time they talk to them, they won't be. I'm going to repeat that.
Wow.
The biggest reason agents don't tell their loved ones they're in real estate is their greatest fear the next time they see that person, they won't be. The irony of that is that if they just open their mouth and if they would just share what they're doing, you know, and these are bigger purchases, the dealerships that you're working with, the sellers and the buyers that my agents are working with, these are larger transactions. I appreciate that. I'm always using analogies with my agents. And if you think about, and you and I are good at this, we're very good at this. If you think about, do humans in America know how to behave around a restaurant? Yes. If you open, you know, Smith charcuterie, I would go charcuterie the hell out of it. I'd be, you know what I mean? But I know the social contract there. Corey opens restaurant. Tim goes, orders food, eats, pays, tips, raves, goes on Yelp, goes on Google, tells a friend, and goes back, right? Wash, rinse, repeat. Mm-hmm. And I say kids as a term of endearment, so don't, I hope nobody's insulted. the kids at my office, I have to remind them and use that analogy so they understand. You have to make sure your friends know, and it's a proximity effect. Because I'll ask them, hey, does everybody in your phone know you're in real estate? And they're like, oh, yeah, of course, Tim. Everyone knows. I'm like, well, okay, walk me through that, though. You put it on MySpace, right? So you're convinced everybody knows. Like, that's not the end game. And you and I both know that. Like, and even if the kid said to me, everyone knows. My challenge, and this is so true, is, okay, everyone in your life knows you're in real estate. Next question. Do they understand? They know what you do, you say. Do they understand how you do it? And I've been calling people. This is a French term. It'll be on the quiz later. I've been calling people on their bullshittery lately, right? Like I'll be in a call and I'll say, all right, Corey, I need you to do me a favor. Who's your best friend? Right? And you say, we're going to call Bobby Dugan, right? Cool, right? So, and I would either have you give me the number or I'd have you call him on speaker. And I'll just say, hey, Bobby, this is Tim Lindsay, a friend of Corey Smith's. I have to ask you, do you know what he does? And sometimes there's some clunkiness there. Well, I think he's in real estate. Hey, Bobby, if I could ask you one more question, I'll let you get on with your day. Do you know how Corey does what he does? And they're like, not really. And that is unlocking the potential of empowering our loved ones to help us. So I use a lot of drastic language, and it's about to happen, right? Agents and their loved ones are about to be around tables for Thanksgiving, Christmas, and Hanukkah. So many opportunities. So I'm like, you got to bake something into their skull they're never going to forget. So this is the conversation you have to have with your best friend. So you're going to go see your friend Stacy tonight at Planet Fatness. You're going to be on the treadmill next to her. You have to turn and be like, hey, I know you know I sell real estate. I have to ask you, do you know how I do it? Stacy's going to probably say no. And she's going to struggle with that because she'll be embarrassed that she can't, you know, articulate to you what you actually do. That's okay. Tell Stacy in the next 90 days, as you see more humans in this during this fourth quarter than we normally see all year. Stacy, if you see anyone in the wild say the words real estate out loud, I need you to tackle them and call me.
Oh, I love that.
Because as soon as we tell them that they have the power to be part of our story, they're going to want to be. Why wouldn't they want to be? You called and said, will you come on my show? I didn't say, no, I'm too busy.
Right. So any salesperson can do that, right?
Super simple.
Yeah.
Super simple.
I love that.
But even salespeople at the dealerships that you're working at, when it comes up during conversation, somebody's asking Aunt Thelma to pass the potatoes. I have to say it like my grandmother used to say, pass the potatoes, right? Like at Thanksgiving, when conversations around house sales or auto sales comes up, our agents and our salespeople are going to retract because they don't want, well, no, I'm not. I mean, Fat Uncle Tony doesn't know what he's talking about, but I don't want to disrespect him. And you're letting Fat Uncle Tony, God bless him, you know, still hasn't passed the potatoes, by the way. That's why he's Fat Uncle Tony, right? He's going to burn the thought process around your industry to the ground before dessert starts. And you're the only real estate professional. You're the only auto sales professional in the room. Raise your hand, raise your voice, and be the voice of influence. Mm-hmm. So when people are just like, well, I could never buy a car right now. I can't buy a house right now. Nothing's for sale. And these are all little semantics when it comes to real estate. If I hear one more agent, and I'm equal opportunity violence, I'll kick anybody in the face. If I hear one more of my agents say there's no inventory, there's a ton of inventory. We don't have enough active sales. You could argue that, and that's our fault. But inventory, and I know you did, and I did for sure. I'm going to date myself. I grew up in Massachusetts. I worked at Purity Supreme. Before they closed the supermarket in Massachusetts, Corey, what did we do? We flipped over one of those plastic milk crates, and you faced the shelves.
Yep.
And as an industry in real estate, we have to face the shelves. Every house in North America is inventory waiting to become an active listing. And we have to have enough conversations with the humans to make sure they understand, because the pushback right now is, why would I sell if I bought it 2% and it's currently 7 or 8%?
It doesn't matter if
you've got a student loan from UMaine that you could crush with the equity you captured while you beat the daylights out of your principal at 2%, Mr. Lindsay. That's why we should talk.
Yeah.
And
you're going to be able to overcome that objection.
And the local economist at the same time. And we don't claim to be a CPA. We don't claim to be a lawyer. I'm not the economist, but I am talking to you about the commodity that you hold in the industry that requires it, Mr. Lindsay. You have leverage.
So what is the most effective ways to provide ongoing support and development for salespeople?
It's going to be their ability to remain consistent, right? So, you know, when an agent gets started with us, we have our seminal meetings. They're going to come in. My first meeting with an agent literally is and you and I have talked about this. I'm doing 30-minute meetings. My first meeting with you is going to get me from high school graduation to this conversation. And that gives me their history, right? I mean, you know, and they got to cliff note it because some of the people come in, they get as much gray hair as I do. They're like, where do you want me to start? I'm like, start during the war. Tell me about the war, Dad, right? You know, like sometimes they have to skate a little bit faster, but for the most part, I'm going to get their history. And any employer should steal this. And I didn't make this up. I know it works for me. When an agent's coming in, if they're telling me their work history and just their life story, and they were at McDonald's, but they left because the fries were too salty. Then they went to Wendy. She had too many freckles. Then they went to Burger King and his hat's stupid. If every time they moved away from an employment opportunity, it's because it was the company's problem. What do we know, Corey? I'm about to be the next problem.
Yeah.
So
it's not a them problem. It's a you problem.
Or I hear this person's moving and the next logical step was growth. And I'm, or our company is their next logical step for growth. That's exciting. Mm-hmm. And after we have those first few meetings, we're going to go through that. We're going to review their DISC and their KPA, so they better understand what they probably already knew, but now share that I understand their genius zone, the corner of the sandbox they play in best. We're going to set goals. We're going to adjust, and based on the goals that they tell me they want to achieve, we're going to reverse engineer that. Great book, by the way, called Profit First from Michael Michalowicz. Mm-hmm. And most companies are like, we're going to sell widgets. And when we finish selling widgets, we have to pay our bills. And whatever's left over is profit. You want to flip that on its head. What do I want in the bank after Washington? I practice saying that without crying, right? And then you have to reverse engineer that down to how many conversations do I have to support my conversion rates at the kitchen table, to serve enough families, to make enough, you know, revenue, net, and profit, right? And okay. When we can do that, now I can say, okay, this is how many letters you need to write. This is how many doors you have to knock. This is how many calls you need to make. How many humans you have to interact with. And when the topic comes up, and this is a blessing for real estate, our friends that do life insurance, our friends that do a lot of different things people don't want to talk about. If you're at the Hanukkah party, the Christmas party, the Thanksgiving event, where you just left a Halloween party, when people find out you're real estate, everybody on planet America wants to talk about real estate. And they're going to be, and what's the natural question we're getting right now? What's going on? I hear it's crazy. And a good agent's going to be like, yeah, you know what? We got a lot of challenges, but we're helping a lot of families. And I'm glad you brought that up, Corey. I just sat with my coach, Timmy, and I know I want to help 7 more families before the end of the year. Who do you know that I should know? Who do you know that we can help? Do you know anybody else I could hoodwink before December 31st? I mean, if you use that language, nobody wants to be a part of that. We have to use language that's going to help romanticize what we do for a living so people know that we're servants. Because we get paid in direct correlation with the amount of people that we help. We don't get paid a check every week.
Right. Right. I love that. So how, and we're right up against the time here, but how can we ensure that the training that the salesperson is getting and the coaching programs really align with the latest industry trends and best practices? Right.
Such a great question. So two things. I think when I'm in the classroom, I want to make sure there's something actionable happening in the class. They're leaving with an action item. And our president at Keller Williams, his name's Mark King. And we have a national call every week on Mondays. And he said something, and I appreciate, you know, we want to keep up with the times. I get that. And there's a lot of tech. And yes, we have some agents TikToking their way to greatness. And I'm not making fun of TikTok. I love TikTok. It got me through all 3 pandemics. Are we on the 3rd pandemic? I don't even know anymore. Love TikTok. My point is, the tech is going to be a great tool to get the ball down the field, Corey. You and I both know your personal relationships with your allied resources, with your co-brokes, with the other people in your sales industry are going to get the ball into the end zone. And Mark King had a great quote a couple of weeks ago on a call, and he said, what have we done that worked so well, we just decided to stop doing it? And I know salespeople, I know adults, I know humans don't want to hear this because it's not sexy, and it's about getting back to the basics.
Yes.
There are tried and true things that we know work, that aren't sexy, that don't have TV shows, that will time and time and time again, in 1,000 years, they will still work. And it can't be just one thing. You have to have enough arrows in your quiver. So when a pandemic comes up, if you were a toe-to-toe, I'm networking in person all the time, that got shut down. Mm-hmm. You had to go to Zoom and learn that skill set. You had to get better on the phone. You had to start writing letters. You had to door knock from the corner of the street, not from the step of from the doorstop, right? So I'm not saying the tech's not important. Utilize that stuff as leverage, but it'll never be beyond you. You are the change agent. Because any realtor in North America can say, well, I've got all this stuff. Most agents do. And then you get to Keller Williams. We have 170,000 agents in North America. What sets Tim Lindsay apart? And I'll leave you with this because I think this is huge. I think so many salespeople sit up all night staring at their ceiling fan in their bedroom like, what am I going to say if I get asked on the elevator? Why should they work with me? What's my 15-second elevator speech? I don't think it's a speech. In our industry and in both of our industries, I think anybody who's a salesperson, we have to remember as we approach the civilian, we want to look good and be right. We have to remember they want to be heard and cared for. Mm-hmm. And if they ask me why they should work with me, I very early on realized I'm going to stop answering that question. Because if I start talking about me, which clearly I'm very good at, right? Like I'm Talkasaurus Rex. I also want to change their thinking immediately. I would say, Mr. Corey, I appreciate that question. It's a great question. I'm not sure we should work together, but I'd love to take a few minutes so we can talk and find out if we truly are a fit. And we can do that today at 4, tomorrow at 5. What works best for you? Because what are they waiting for? Well, you should work with me because I got more gray hair than anybody. And I talk a lot and I got glasses and I'm annoying.
They're waiting for you to do a song and dance.
Yeah. Well, the person who speaks the most feels the meeting went the best. And you know, with radio, right? Everybody's favorite station is WIFM. What's in it for me? Mm-hmm. And if they are telling their story, if we allow them to be the star of the show and we keep our head down and our heart up and it's service first and sales second, we're always going to win.
I love that. So what are your three takeaways from this episode in your mind that someone in sales, someone in the service department, an agent or someone in leadership at their business can take away from this episode?
From a leadership standpoint, talking to, you know, and this is important. I think too many people in roles like ours feel like leadership is a stamp. You know, I got a placard outside my door. People follow people who are also willing to be led. Mm-hmm. I saw a great piece of artwork at an event we had most recently, and it was a bunch of people. You've probably seen it. It was a bunch of people. And if you looked up, it was just stick figures all walking in a circle, and it was pick out the leader. And you couldn't because they all look the same. Because if you're leading, you're following. And I love this phrase, whether we're leading or not leading, we're leading. Mm. And that goes from the people that look up to you in your industry, the people that are expecting you to lead them, right? And in leadership, we are not in charge of people. We have people in our charge.
Yeah.
I have 660 souls on board at my company. And I always say to my agents, I'm not worried about you. I know what you're capable of. My concern is the family at home behind you that will have to tolerate whatever you choose to do or not do today. My job as your coach is to pull the best out of you. We're never as leaders, coaches, trainers going to motivate somebody. My job is to ask questions, peel the onion, and uncover their motivation. So if you're in a leadership position, the humility of understanding the power that we have is not ours. Our power, our superpower is making sure we draw it out of the people that we're so lucky to serve every day.
Yeah.
I think we have to stay in education. I just got another book. If you've never heard of this woman across industries, she was a coach for years at Keller Williams, and she's off writing books now. Diana Kokoska. It starts with a K. It ends with a Kokoska. You'll find it online. It's called Becoming More, and it really is, right? And you know this. You can't get to better until you get to different.
Right.
And I think we have to be well-read. I think we have to. One of her great quotes is, the brain starves for novelty. And as trainers and coaches in our industries, Corey, I'm going to say the same thing over and over and over again. I'm the teacher from the Peanuts. Wah, 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 right? And what is it, Buddha? When the student is ready, the teacher appears. It's not that I'm saying anything different and I have to be okay with this. And she said this to me. She goes, we are not here to really teach them anything. We're constantly here to remind them.
Oh, I like that.
Right? And this happens all the time. You could say something. And I know you travel all over and you're talking to different groups at different dealerships, but then they're all going to go to one thing for Chevy or one thing for Ford. And somebody's going to come out and say what you've been saying for 7 years. They'll be like, oh, that was gold. Did you write that down? And you're sitting next to them saying, I just said that 3 times last week. right? but you're a prophet in a different land, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I know we joke all the time that the Red Sox chicken and beer, right? And the, and the feeling on talk radio here in New England was Tito lost the clubhouse. And I'm not going to lie to you, as the coach at this company for 9 years, I wonder sometimes if I lost the clubhouse. But then I had one earlier this morning, just phenomenal, like tearful coaching sessions, because I've created these relationships with these agents. And that's a huge thing. I guess number three is don't get too sexy. Don't get too cute. There's going to be a lot of cool things, and we do have to adapt, right? You know, Blockbuster got Netflixed, and I don't want anyone in their industry to get Netflixed because they weren't willing to adapt. But don't move away from the things that we know work, right? As Mark King said, what did we do that worked so well we just stopped doing it?
Yeah, I like that.
And why would you get away from it when you know it works? Everyone has the sharpest arrow in their quiver. And if you know what works for you, if you know what will create a lead, it will get somebody onto the lot to talk to you about their next vehicle or to their kitchen table to talk about listing their home. Why would you walk away from that if you know that's your superpower? And it's not about saying the right thing at the right time and convincing somebody to buy, sell, or invest in real estate or get their next vehicle. It's about being a human in the gap in between those transactions. The average American moves every 7 years. I can't just hope I show up on that eve of their next transaction. Like, humans are scratch tickets. We have to be a human in the gap in between those times, so we are the trusted advisor when the time comes.
Man, that's awesome. If you want to deliver a legendary customer experience that keeps the customer coming back to you and encouraging them to invite their family and their friends into your establishment, then you've caught the gold standard customer service vision. Do you want a more cohesive team that delivers a higher level of customer service that will result in more revenue for your dealership? We provide the tools, knowledge, training needed to unlock that potential of your dealership. For more information on this topic and others, or to submit a question, or to be a guest on the show, feel free to send me an email at csmith@apcoholdings.com. Timothy, that is all the time that we have for today. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for being a part of this episode. And I'll ask this last question like I ask every guest. Will you please come back?
You know what? I just heard that I could have emailed you months ago. I had to wait to get invited. I should have emailed in. I'll change my name and I'll wear a funny hat next time. I'd love to be back. I appreciate you having me. Anytime we get to talk about what we do for the people that we serve, it's a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to National Auto Care's Fixed Ops 5 with Corey Smith. Powered by Pasha. Be sure to like and subscribe to the podcast. New episodes released on the 5th and 20th of every month.